Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bermanology on LettermanRow.com. I am your host, Jeremy Birmingham. With me today is one of Ohio State's top 2021 targets, offensive line prospect J.C. Latham, the IMG Academy, originally from Wisconsin. Thanks for joining me today, J.C. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, just got exams coming up, studying a little bit for them.
Have you had any sort of struggle with being as dedicated as you want to school with all of this attention and notoriety that's come from recruiting and all the travel and all that stuff? How are you balancing that as a 17-year-old?
We got a lot of, like, coaches around us to make sure we got all our work done. So, like, on the road, we have a coach with us who'll come with us to make sure if we need any help, we can get it done then. We have tutoring every single night and on the weekends also. Our coaches do like a daily checkup. So like if your grade drops down to a D or an F like that day, or if you're unexcused absence that day, your coach will get notified of it and he'll be right on it. So, you know, like I think throughout the year, we've had like 95 to 98 proficiency on like make sure all our work's in on time and making sure no late penalties on it. So.
Now, you're a top 100 prospect across in the 247 composite rankings, somewhere in the 75 to 80 range. You're a player that made your first visit to Ohio State as a defensive line visit back in March.
Yes, sir.
And then this summer, things kind of changed, and you started to be considered and looked at by a lot of schools, including the Buckeyes, as an offensive lineman. How has that transition been for you to go from playing, you know, hand in the ground and moving forward to standing up and trying to move backwards?
The process was a lot smoother than I thought it'd be because my coach, the day the transition happened, he told me, don't really worry about all this and that and worry about the transition. Just worry about a kick set. So he made sure, like, day one, my kick set was good. So like, he's trying to make sure my kick set just got better and better. Once I got that, we just slowly progressed throughout the season on what I need to get better at. And, you know, here I am at the end of the year, one of the best left tackles. So as we go into every practice, you make sure I have something I want to work on so I can get to work on it.
Did it surprise you that you picked it up so quickly? I mean, obviously, you're obviously a premier athlete. That's why you're down at IMG. You knew that you had an opportunity to be heavily recruited and the guy that people around the country were interested in. But that's still a big transition, especially for a young guy like yourself. Did anything about that change catch you off guard, or were you expecting to be this good at it this quickly?
I didn't really expect it until he started telling me like what type of coach he was, because he started talking about like his past and who he coached. Like he used to coach Trent Williams, Tyler Lewan. He'd be on the phone with Joe, one of the Hall of Fame left tackles
Joe
for
Thomas.
The Ravens.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He'll be on the phone with them all the time. So, he's coached a lot of top athletes into college and into the league who are now also the best athletes in the league. So, when I heard about that, I'm like, all right, well, he knows what he's doing, so I might as well just buy into it and try to get better because, you know, that's what we're here for.
And obviously, at Letterman Row, we cover Ohio State, so a lot of the questions are going to be geared in that direction. But did you notice an uptick in the amount of conversation and interest from Ohio State when you made that change? Because, I mean, as a defensive lineman, maybe your athleticism and size might seem, I don't know, standard, I guess, but as an offensive tackle, it's that sort of mobility and footwork is rare.
Yeah, the coaches talked, because after like the first game, because I switched over, I think a week or two before the first game, and after the first game, my coach told me like he got so many phone calls from all coaches around the country, like Ohio State, Alabama, like LSU, all of them, like after the first game, about like how I was doing and all that type of stuff. So I noticed like the immediate change right after that. But then as soon as I think it's September 1st or August, but I can't remember.
September 1st. When they can legally, right?
Yeah. All the Ohio State coaches texted me. One of them just texted me while we're on the phone right now. Like they always check in on me, ask me how I'm doing, make sure I'm doing good, all that type of stuff.
I know you made your second visit to Ohio State at the end of November for the Penn State game. Is that relationship, I mean, far and away better or different than relationships you have with other coaching staffs, or are there other staffs that are equally as involved with you? Or what makes the relationship and interest from Ohio State, I guess, seem to stand out to you and your family right now?
It stands out to me and my family because, like, not only do they make sure I'm good, like, he'll also, like, call my dad, stepmom up, and I keep my mom, too, and then the coaches and players around me to ask about me, too. So, like, they want to know how I'm doing in all aspects of life. And then also, like, you know, they just, like, they don't talk – like, when I get to most coaches, they'll talk about, oh, you can be a game changer here, you can win a national championship here, or you can be one of the best players on our field. But they actually, when I was talking to them after the game, they were talking to me about how I could – benefit off the field from here, because a lot of people from Ohio State make it to the NFL, but a lot of them also have a good career outside of football. So he was trying to make sure, like, he was telling me, as soon as you retire, or, you know, say if you unfortunately get injured, you'll have a good stable career here, because our business school is phenomenal. He was just talking about a lot of the key things that they have that a lot of other colleges don't have when it comes outside of football that could help me succeed.
Has it been Greg Studrara mainly driving that relationship, or is there other coaches that are handling it more on the day-to-day?
Coach Day will talk to me on like a day-to-day, but it'll be Coach Studd who's like talking to me constantly, calling me, all that type of stuff.
Now, there's this sort of over the last couple of years, there's been these like mixed reviews, I guess, from Buckeyes fans about Coach Studd, because they weren't sure what he was doing on the recruiting trail. I the development stuff was obviously there. The Buckeyes have won a handful of Remington Awards and all, you know, five Big Ten offensive, or Big Ten, all Big Ten linemen, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, it's a lot easier to say, I guess, in my brain. What did you see out of Coach Studd, and not just as a person, but as a coach? Because obviously that's important too. You're talking about all the development you're getting down at IMG as far as playing the offensive line. When you're at a place like Ohio State, are you watching what he's doing on the sideline? Are you paying close attention to that aspect of how he develops his players?
Yeah, no, I was making sure, like, because I wanted to see, because my coach always tells me, like, no matter where I've been, they'd always tell me, like, a true athlete, like, knows how to handle adversity. And especially here, they'd always tell us every game is going to be, there's going to be some form of adversity and going to either make or break you. So you got to be able to overcome it. And I want to see how, because in that Penn State game, it wasn't a blowout as I thought it would be. It was actually a, like, kind of a close game throughout all to like third quarter, I would say. But yeah, and I was noticing how, like, when things weren't going their way, or, you know, things were kind of up in the air, you know, quarterback pressure and all that stuff, you see, like, no one would get their head down, no one would point at anyone else. And I noticed how, like, they just rally together and get even more close, and then come and finish the job.
As far as the relationships go, and you're talking about the offensive line, which the cohesion of the offensive line is one of the most important things of football. During that visit, you spent a lot of time there with Ben Christman, with Jagger Burton, with Tristan Lee, with Rocco Spindler. Like, how did that weekend in Columbus, do you feel like it changed your recruitment in a way, because you started to get to know Donovan Jackson and all these other guys? Like, was there conversation that started that weekend that hadn't been there before, as far as building a class or building a line, or just, you know, having extra guys in your peer group to talk to?
I know, like, because I flew in, because that was the, I think, first day of my Thanksgiving break. So I flew in to Akron. Oh, no, I think it was Columbus on Friday. And then throughout the weekend, there was a lot going on, because I was trying to make sure I had all my stuff and all that stuff, because I had this drive to Wisconsin still. So I was really with my family, talking to my family a lot. But for the players in my class, we all have our little group chat on Twitter. Like, all the players who've been offered from Ohio State for our class, and all the potential commits in our class and the actual commits in our class. And, you know, we just steady talk about, like, a lot of stuff, you know, like who's going on the games or how y'all doing, all that type of stuff. And then I got another group chat with just, like, the old linemen who have potential to commit to Ohio State also, just see what they're thoughts are about the school in general.
Who's the better recruiter, Ben Christman or Jack Sawyer?
Jack, I'd probably say Jack, because the first day down there, I met him right off the bat. You know, we just started talking all the time. And, yeah, you know, we were just talking right off the bat. He was telling me how much he loved the school and how, like, because he said it was like his dream school. So he was telling me how much he loved it, what was the benefits of it, all that stuff. So I wanted to get a feel of it and see how it was for myself and see how it was when, because that's his hometown. So, like, they can visit his games a lot easier than they can visit mine.
Right.
So I wanted to wait until they were actually able to talk to me and see how they treat me and see all the love and type stuff that Jack was talking about, if they were going to do the same way with me. And, you know, I mean, they've upheld that standard, really.
Your home state school, despite the fact that you're down at IMG, is the Wisconsin Badgers. How hard is it to watch a Big Ten championship game, watch Ohio State and Wisconsin, like, do you have ties and loyalty still to the Badgers? Are you, you know, one of those guys that grew up there and bled? What's their red color? Just red? Is it just red?
I mean, yeah, it's just like red and white.
Really. I mean, I don't know. Everyone has their shade. But, I mean, do you have, like, an affection for Wisconsin? Is it a matter of saying, I'm always going to go to the right spot for me? Or is there a family pull to go back home? How does that play into your decision eventually?
So I was, like, really – I was born in Meridian, Mississippi. And then I moved to Wisconsin in third grade. So, like, I never was, like, growing up all the way in to the Wisconsin Badgers. So when our first season started to come, I think it was after my first game, they invited me up to the watch, I think, them versus Northwestern, I think my freshman year. So, yeah, and I really loved the vibe. It was, like, a great atmosphere and all. But then I was talking to my coach about it, and he was like, yeah, they're an excellent school. You know, they got, like, as Ohio State goes, they got all the pieces when it comes to O-line, really.
Right.
So then, but then he was like, how's your relationship? And I was shocked because after the day they're legally allowed to talk to me, no one's really hitting me up. So, like, I don't want to say waste my time, but I'm not going to give a school attention because, like, I'm not trying to be, like, boastful or anything, but with, like, 26 offers, you got, like, a lot of schools to talk to, really. So you want to narrow it down when you commit. So I'm not going to give my school attention when there's another school out there who wants me.
Love those who love you.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I got a lot of hate from people from Wisconsin about it, like a lot of threats, all that type of stuff, you know, a lot of just bad stuff, a few racial slurs, all that, really, about me not putting them in my top 10 and all. But, yeah, I mean, it was just really about the relationship because all the other aspects were there. It was just no coach really ever hit me up about it or no coach really called me or anything.
Well, first of all, let me say I'm sorry that you had to deal with that because that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Where are you now? I mean, you made a visit to Ohio State at the end of November. Then the next week you went to Michigan. You know, there's people who are looking at that Ohio State potential recruiting class of 2021 and especially the offensive line group and saying, wow, this could be something really special if player A, B, and C all decide to make a decision sometime soon. What is your timeline? What do you want this to be over with? What are you still looking for on visits to Columbus or anywhere else? What do you still need to see?
There's a few schools I want to get out to. I want to try to visit a few Florida schools. LSU, I planned on visiting way back. I think it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks before my Ohio State visit, but the plane, like, it actually took off, and then the airport in LSU, it actually had a blackout. Wow. So the airplane actually just turned around and took us back. So I visited that against Auburn when LSU played Auburn. It had to get canceled because I wasn't able to fly in. Because we have the airport. So I never got to visit LSU. So I want to try to visit them because the coaches talk to me a lot and they've been out here a few times. So I want to see how their atmosphere is and how their coaching style is and all. I'll probably visit, I think that'll be it. And I want to make my decision sometime in the springtime.
Are you looking at, you know, 3 official visits, 5 official visits, 1 official visit if it's the right one? Like, I mean, is there a checklist still that you're operating off of? And, you know, what is the biggest remaining piece of the puzzle for you?
It's really just like the relationships, like I said, how they treat me and my family, their offense and the coaching styles of how I would benefit in that type of scheme. And then the atmosphere that I'll be in, because that'll be my next home for the next 3 years, kind of like an IMG. So how that'll be for my next 3 years. And then, that'll probably be it. I'll probably make my decision sometime like that.
A couple more quickies before I'll let you get out of here. But how important has the IMG Academy been for you in helping prepare yourself for the next level? Because when you're talking about the tutors and all the travel and all, I mean, you're working and operating basically on a college schedule now. Do you think that you are one of those players now because of that who, after your senior year, is going to be way more prepared than other guys who haven't had that experience?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like, I was just talking to my teammate, George Jackson. Like, he was telling me, like, IMG really helps you grow up on your own because you're going to be here by yourself. You're going to have a roommate, but like, you're not going to be with your family like that. And you're going to be held accountable because there's 20, 30, 40 other guys who want to be on the field just as bad as you do. And if you do something irresponsible, they got to hold you accountable for it. And, you know, that's going to take away for your, field time, and they also want to, like, they hold you to a standard of, like, excellence in the classroom as well. So like things that you used to do at your old school that, oh, you were like the top dog or whatever at your old school that you can get away with there, you can't get away with here because, you know, it's just, it's not the same, man. It's like a college atmosphere, really. So, I mean, it's like it kind of forces you to mature. Either you mature or you won't stay here for long.
Absolutely. A couple quick hitters. Favorite pizza topping?
Oh, favorite pizza, sausage.
Favorite pregame song that you have to listen to every time before a game?
Ooh, pregame song. It always changes. I say probably right about now, be Ride the Wave by Lil Key.
Why your jersey number? Why do you wear it?
It was 75 because I wanted to be 55 because that's my first number that I ever played with back with my brother. And his favorite number is 5, so like I want to do 55 because, you know, it makes me remind him of him. But it got changed to 75 just because of it was like a late switch. So like we had like 2 weeks, told me I needed to pick a number, and they said 75 would be a good fit for you. So I just said 75. I didn't want to make any extra noise out of it. But next year I'll be 55, though.
What does JC stand for?
Oh, I can't say that. Oh, wow. I can't say that. Not just yet.
All right. And last one, what team do you use when you play on Madden?
Saints, all the way.
All right. Look, man, I appreciate you taking some time. This has been Bermanology on Letterman Row. That's JC Latham. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time, folks.